Good morning, Hope Church. Hey, if you noticed, we're doing something a little bit different this morning. And the reason is because yesterday morning, Saturday, I woke up with a horrible case of the pink eye. And so because it's somewhat infectious, right, it's transmutable, apparently, out of love for you guys, I'm not there with you this morning, but I will be here with you in spirit, and I hope you get a lot out of this message, because it is in every way intended for you guys. Truth is, we've been in the middle of this sermon series over the last 4 weeks entitled The Season of Hope. And this is a series where we've taken a look at, each week at this biblical truism that because of Jesus, it's just not too late. And so today I wanted to finish up this series by taking a look at this final important truth. It's not too late to be forgiven. And I say that, and I'll even say it with significance, because everywhere I go, it seems, I meet people who are continually punishing themselves for the past. They play a game I call If Only. It goes like this. If only I knew what I knew today. If only I could erase the past. If only I had amnesia. If only I could start over. If only I had listened sooner. If only I could forgive myself. Truth is, everybody has regrets because nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes and we all fumble and stumble along as we're going through this life. We say foolish things. We make bad decisions. We waste time. We hurt ourselves. And we absolutely hurt other people. And when we do, we need to know that there is a hope for a better tomorrow. So this morning, I want to kind of unpack this a little bit. You know, I was getting ready for Christmas, and I want to do three things. I want to start by talking about regrets, what we usually do with them, and it's usually pretty counterproductive stuff. Then I want to take a look at regrets, what we should do with them, what the Bible tells us to do with them. And then I want to take a look at regrets, what God wants to ultimately do with them in our life. And so let's kind of go through that process this morning. One of the first things that we see is, or I'll talk about this morning, is regrets what we normally do with them. And this is, again, the counterproductive part. And the truth is we have some go-to moves when it comes to sin, when it comes to regret, when it comes to feeling guilty for our sin. And one of the first big things that we try to do when we're dealing with its consequence, with its shame, with its feeling bad, with all that stuff, is we try to bury them. And we try to pretend that they're not really there. In other words, we'll try to do things like minimize them. So we say stuff like this, and you'll recognize it. It's no big deal. It wasn't really that bad. And we rationalize them, and we say things like, you know, lots of people have done it. I mean, lots of people. I'm no different than they are. Or sometimes we even try to compromise them. I'll kind of explain this one. It's when we feel guilty about something, so what do? Well, we just lower our standards. You do something that you know is wrong. You feel guilty about it. But instead of feeling bad, we just start saying it's not really wrong anymore. And certainly that's something that we've seen in our culture over the last 10 years, absolutely. And so in every way, we try to bury it, but just like a bad horror film, it seems like that dead body keeps on rising, and so does our guilt. So we go to our next one, and this is one sometimes we'll go to right away if we just don't think we can bury it, but it's we blame other people. In Psalm 50, verse 20, it says, "You're always ready to accuse your own brothers and find fault with them." And this is a well-known tactic, isn't it? You have regrets, so what do? Well, simply, you blame somebody else. Look over there. Don't look at me anymore. Look over there. It's a tactic as old as creation is. Adam and Eve did it. They blamed each other. They blamed God. They blamed the snake. They may even have blamed the cool breeze in the middle of the day had God allowed that. But the truth is we love to blame because it gets the focus again off of us and on to somebody else. So we accuse others, we excuse ourselves, we pass the buck. It's all your fault. We say that hoping they're not looking at us. We can't handle the regrets, so we blame. But what we find in the end is that that one doesn't really work either. And so we go to this third one. And it's the third one by choice because it's not really a fun one to get involved with. But when those other ones don't work, we just start to beat ourselves up. We administer sort of a form of self-punishment. We make ourselves feel lousy, you know, we condemn ourselves, we criticize and berate. I shouldn't have done that. And instinctively, we try to pay for our regrets. In Psalm 38, verse 4 through 8, it says, David said, "I am drowning in the flood of my sin, and they're a burden too heavy for me to bear because I've been foolish. I'm utterly worn out and crushed. My heart is troubled." And David had just committed adultery and murder, so it's no wonder he was feeling miserable at that time. So he starts trying to pay for it himself, punish himself, beat himself up. I think that's what we do too. We instinctively try to pay for our own guilt, hoping that somehow we could just find the right mix so we could finally absolve ourselves. But there's a problem with all of these, and you've recognized them because you've lived them. And that's that your conscience never really knows when to quit on these. You can spend the rest of your life trying to atone for, pay for, fix, you know, something that happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But your conscience never knows when you've had enough. And so God shares with us in his word today, I have a so much better way to do this, so much way better way of handling your regrets and your guilt. It just leads us to that second section, right? What should we do? What does the Bible tell us to do with all of our regrets? And it actually has a formula that it gives out, and it says because of Jesus, all of these things work, and so he asks us to trust them. And the first step that God gives us is just then this, admit it. This is where we admit our guilt. It's where we take the stuff on the inside, and like we talked about last week, we put it on this little imaginary table so we can start to deal with it, so that God can start to deal with it. So David does in Psalm 51, verse 3, he says, God, I recognize my faults. I'm conscious of my sins. He's admitting it to God. In Psalm 32, verse 5, he says, I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave the iniquity of all my sins. I think oftentimes this is the most painful step in getting rid of our regrets. Why? Because we don't like to accept responsibility for our sins. Have you ever noticed that? We don't like to say, I was wrong. We don't like to admit what we really are, that we're sinners. But God says, I need you to admit it. And when you do, guess what? He's not going to be surprised. Why? Because he was there. He knows it's already happened. He was there while you were doing it. That's an uncomfortable thought. But he was there, and he just wants to admit what he knows and you know is absolutely true. He wants you to come clean. He wants you to admit it. Admit your guilt. Confess it and say, God, I was wrong, and I am so sorry right now. These things that I regret, and I keep trying to go through those three other things, you know, that don't work, they were just wrong, and right now I just need to know that you still love me and that I'm really forgiven. What's funny, and I don't say this in a ha-ha way, but more of a peculiar way, right? But what's funny is that so many people do step one, but they never get around to doing step two, which is really important. It's actually receiving God's forgiveness. It's why we call it good news, right? Not just news. It's receiving God's forgiveness. Truth is, I meet people all the time who are continually confessing their sins and still don't feel forgiven. Why? Because they don't go to this next step and actually receive the forgiveness that God has for them. Remember when you were a little kid, there was this thing called the Etch-a-Sketch, and I know I'm 55 now, so that makes me ancient, but there was this little game, I guess, that was called the Etch-a-Sketch board, and you could draw all sorts of pictures with two knobs on each side. And but the cool thing is if you ever made a mistake or you didn't like what you drew or whatever it was, you could just flip it over, shake it up, turn it back, and it was clean. You could start all over again. There's this verse in the Bible in Romans 8:1. It says this, there is now no condemnation for those who live in Jesus Christ. For me, this has always been the Etch-a-Sketch verse of the Bible, or for my kids, the Magna Doodle verse of the Bible, right? But this is where God wipes it out. He starts it over. He cleans our slate. There is now no condemnation for those that are holding on to Jesus. I think one of the most important words in the book of Romans is this word justified. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for us so that we could be justified. And that's just really a theological term that simply means this. Just as if I'd never sinned. Did you catch that? Just as if I'd never sinned. It's where God starts it all over. It's where he cleans our slate. And so after God has forgiven you, right, there's a step three in this. And that's for you to forgive yourself and focus on the future. I don't know why it is, but for so many people, this is the hardest step of all, right? To actually forgive themselves. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 19, where the Lord says this. He says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what's happened long ago, but watch for this new thing that I'm going to do. He's saying, don't keep focusing on all that stuff that happened so yesterday, right? So long ago. Let it go. Let's focus on the future, he says. Truth is, I've talked to so many people who say, man, Pastor, you don't understand. I've blown it. I really made a big mistake, and I'm going to have to live with it for the rest of my life. And if you listen to that conversation, they've doomed themselves. They've imposed a self-imposed sentence that says, I must be unhappy for the rest of my life because I made a mistake. When the truth is, because of Jesus, Man, God loves to give people second chances. He loves to offer hope. He loves to offer grace. It's his nature. Your past is past. It's over. It's finished. And so he says, you can actually forget about it. Again, remember what he said, don't cling to the events of the past. For the truth is, it's not so much where you've been in life that counts. It's where your feet are headed right now, where they're pointed. That's what counts. So forgive yourself. God has already. And he says, focus on the future. And then God also wants to do some other stuff with this whole repentance, receiving forgiveness thing, right? There's two big things I think he wants to do in your life and in addition to forgiving you. And the first one is this. God actually wants to clean your conscience, help you forget, if that makes sense. Remember, the perfect forgiveness is actually forgive and forget. But in Isaiah 1:18, it says this. Let's talk it over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. There is no detergent in the world that can make that claim. He takes out those spots that cannot even be removed by the super all-powerful tide. I'm telling you, it's amazing. But Jesus wants to clean your conscience, clear your memories, set you free from those regrets so that you can get on with the future. Remember in the last series, even last sermon, he hates it when we get stuck on pause. He hates it when we're living in the past. He's got purpose for us. He's got plans for us. He's got things he wants to accomplish. He wants us to live in the now and focus on the future. He's saying, I don't want to rub it in. There's no point in that. I want to rub it out. In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, he says this, I will remember your sins no more. It's truly an amazing verse, to be honest. It says that God forgets. He chooses to forget. Now, I know you might be listening to this, and you might say, you know, that doesn't make any sense. God doesn't forget anything, right? He created the whole world. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, all of that stuff. And you know, you'd be absolutely right. He doesn't forget anything except for one thing. He chooses to forget your sin when you confess it to him. And when a sin is forgiven, it's forgotten in God's eyes. Let me give you an example of that. Truth is, there's a lot of you here today that have gone through the pain of separation and divorce, and a relationship has ended in your life. You still have some regrets about that. And yet, you've already committed it to God and said, God, I admit it. Man, I blew it. I made a mistake. Please, please, please forgive me. And you know what? God has forgiven you the second you asked. When you go to heaven and say to God, Lord, about that divorce, the craziest thing happens. He's going to answer you and say, what divorce? What's forgiven is forgotten by the Lord. See, the Bible says that Jesus Christ on the cross paid the penalty for our sins. The ones you did yesterday, the ones you'll do today, the ones that you'll do tomorrow, they're all paid for. The word Jesus used on the cross meant it is finished, which just means it's paid in full. You don't owe anymore. Why? Because he's already paid the full price. God wants you to clean your conscience. And then he wants to do a second thing in the midst of this too. God wants to change your character. You've heard me say this before, but God loves you just the way you are, but he also loves you way too much to let you stay that way. He wants to change you, help you grow. He wants to free you from your past so that you can become the person that you want to be and that God wants you to be. Truth is God is not interested in condemning you. He's interested in changing you, in forgiving you, in releasing you from that past, and that because of Jesus, it's absolutely not too late. There's one of my favorite stories of all time that kind of gets across this point, and I'd like to share with you to close. On New Year's Day in 1919, Georgia Tech played the University of California in the Rose Bowl. Shortly before halftime, a man named Roy Regals recovered a fumble for California and somehow got confused on the play, right? And he started running 65 yards in the wrong direction. A teammate finally had to tackle him before he would have scored for the opposing team. It was nuts. When California attempted to punt because they couldn't make a first down, Tech actually blocked the kick and scored a safety. In California, Roy's team headed in off the field and went into the dressing room down 9-7 at the time. As they sat on the bench, Regal put a blanket around his shoulders and sat down in a corner, put his face in his hands, and just cried like a baby. Coach Nibs Price was silent through the whole halftime, no doubt trying to decide what to do with Roy. Everybody just couldn't believe what just happened, and they just sat there. When the timekeeper announced 3 minutes, 3 minutes until the end of the half, Coach Price looked at the team and simply said, okay, the same team that played the first half, start the second. Players got up and they started out, all but Roy. He didn't budge. The coach looked back at him and called him again and said, Roy, come on, let's go. But he still didn't move. So Coach Price went over to Roy and said, Roy, didn't you hear me? The same team starts the second half. And Regals looked up with tears in his eyes and he said, Coach, I can't do it. I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've ruined the University of California. I've ruined myself. I couldn't face that crowd right now in the stadium if my life depended on it. Coach Price reached out and put his hand on Roy's big shoulders and said, Roy, get on up and go back in. The game's only half over. So Roy Regals went back into that game, and everybody who saw him play that day said he played the greatest game of his life in that second half. And I like that story because the truth is we, all of us, take the ball a lot of times and run in the wrong direction. And there are times we stumble and fall and we embarrass ourselves and we make mistakes. And sometimes we get to a place we're so ashamed, we just think, I don't want to try anymore. I don't want to even get up. I don't want to try again. But then God comes to us and he puts his big arms around us and he says, get up and go on back in. We say, why, God? And he tells us, it's because the game's only half over. I'm telling you, I hope you enjoyed the series, but it's not too late. Truth is, because of Jesus, we have a God who continues to pursue us with his love, who continues to forgive all our mistakes, all our sins, all our rebellions, a God who continues to dust us off and send us back in the game, not focused on the past anymore, but focused on his amazing future. My prayer today as you walk in and as kind of as we make our way toward Christmas, is you remember that's the reason for the season, that God sent Jesus to give us this second chance. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, let me pray. God, we love you so much. And I guess, first of all, I just thank you for Mike today for coming in on his day off and doing this filming for everybody. And I just pray that God use it in a powerful way for everybody here today. But Father, what I want you to remind us more than anything is that you've got us and that you love us as we're going through this crazy life. That you've sent Jesus to save us, and that means something. Save us from all of our past. Save us from all of our mistakes. Save us from having to go to hell. Save us from this life so that one day we can be with you. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus. Thank you for shouting out to us that we matter to you. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And Father, we pray that knowing that you hear us today, we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.